Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the conference call hosted by GE Vernova T&D India Limited for quarter two of financial year 2025-26. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Megha Gupta from GE Vernova T&D India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Megha.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the GE Vernova T&D India Limited earnings call for quarter two of financial year 25-26. I'm Megha Gupta from Investor Relations team, and I'm joined by Mr. Sandeep Zanzaria, CEO and MD of the company, Mr. Sushil Kumar, Whole-time Director and CFO of the company, Mr. Abhishek Srivastava, Head Business Operations, Ms. Kanika Arora, Communications Leader, and Ms. Shweta Mehta. Before we begin the call, I would like to highlight that today's discussion may contain a few forward-looking statements which are subject to risk and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially from those expressed or implied. Now, I turn the call to Mr. Sandeep Zanzaria to initiate the discussion.
Thanks, Megha. Good evening. Welcome, everyone. India's energy goals, including the ambitious target of 500 GW of non-fossil fuel capacity, means a fundamental redesign to our transmission backbone. We expect peak power demand to climb by close to 80% by 2032, necessitating an unprecedented expansion of the grid. This outlook for the transmission segment remains highly positive, alongside strong prospects of the generation sector. The government is planning to add 36 GW of hydro/PSP storage, 90-100 GW of conventional capacity by 2035, and 100 GW of nuclear capacity by 2047. Since transmission is generation-agnostic, it will continue to be one of the most stable and growth-oriented segments in the coming years. At the heart of this expansion is the necessity of HVDC technology. It is the most efficient and reliable way to transport bulk power over long distances, connecting remote renewable energy parks to consumption centers and stabilizing the national grid. There are significant opportunities emerging in HVDC, STATCOM, and digital solutions. These areas will play a key role in driving overall growth. On the technology front, digitization is a major focus. Asset performance management is being positioned as a key differentiator, helping customers optimize both CapEx and OpEx strategies. With this growth in mind, we are expanding our engineering and manufacturing footprint with additional investment of $8 billion, focused on advanced grid technologies. This investment will expand our capabilities at Vadodara for transformers and reactors. We'll install new lines for bushings and air-core reactors at Hosur. We'll also expand capacities for AIS and GIS products at Hosur and Padappai. The above capacities will support domestic market as well as export. This investment of $8 billion is in addition to $1.4 billion investment announced in May this year. Now, turning to our financial performance, we had a productive, strong quarter of robust demand, significant revenue growth, and EBITDA margin expansion. Our order book remained strong in Q2, and we saw a booking of $16.1 billion, down 66% year-on-year compared to $46.8 billion in quarter-ended September 2024. Our Q2 revenue stood at $15.4 billion versus $11.1 billion in Q2 FY 2024-25, up by  39%. New orders outpaced revenue, further expanding the order backlog to $131.1 billion as of September 25 versus $129.6 billion as of June 25, up by 1% quarter-on-quarter. Our profit before tax and exceptional items for the quarter-ended was 4 billion INR compared to 1.9 billion in the corresponding quarter of the previous financial year, growing by more than 2.1x. The cash and cash equivalent balance was 15.2 billion as of September 30th versus 12.2 billion as of June 30th, 2025. The cash generated in Q2 was 4.3 billion before payment of dividend. If you see the results, it's a very strong set of numbers what we have delivered for the quarter and for the H1. Overall urbanization, rising per capita energy demand, and increasing investment in industries, data centers, and green hydrogen are creating strong drivers for energy growth. These trends will naturally translate into higher demand for transmission infrastructure. Technology will play a crucial role in strengthening the company's position among the top transmission players in the country. It is indeed an exciting time to be part of this sector. On behalf of leadership team at G. Varnova T&D, our sincere thanks to our valued customers, our dedicated investors, and our exceptional teams. I will now request Abhishek to share the execution highlights.
Hi, good evening everyone. So, just like previous quarters, we have been continuously and actively delivering our commitment for strengthening the transmission network of the country. In this pursuit, some key highlights that we want to share with you all for the last quarter are the 400 kV substation base that we commissioned for THDC Khurja. So THDC Khurja is a thermal power plant of 1.3 gigawatts, which has been fully functional now and adding to the power supply demand of UP, the state of UP. So the plant was made fully commercially operational on 22nd of September, and we partnered with THDC in this journey for building up the capacity of electricity generation in the state of UP. Another key highlight was 300 megawatt wind power evacuation substation set up for Vivid Renewables in the state of Karnataka. So this was for the first time we were actively working with this company, and we had completed this project in a record time of less than 12 months. And now this is fully commissioned and supplying power to the adjoining states and regions. Similarly, we have been partnering with other developers and commissioning our products, predominantly transformers like for power grid in 765 kV Dausa, single phase ICT 500 MV was commissioned, 400 kV station of Kallam, where we commissioned three phase shunt reactor of 63 MVR, then PGCIL Narela 765 kV substation where we had commissioned 110 MVR single phase shunt reactor. Similarly, we had been partnering with other developers in terms of commissioning and supporting them to supply of GIS products. So we had commissioned successfully 220 kV GIS for Trans Global at Ganesh Nagar, similarly to 20 kV GIS for GSL at Jajpur, and then at several sites circuit breakers right from 765 kV to 145 kV had been commissioned, and we had been actively working and supporting our customers like Godrej, Electronor, Tata Projects, and Adani. And we remain committed in terms of strengthening the transmission network of the country and making it more and more robust through our products and services. So I hand it over to Sushil to take the floor.
Thanks, Abhishek, and good evening, everyone. Turning to financial slides in the investor presentation. Overall, we had another strong quarter with strong revenue growth, a high EBITDA performance, and strong cash generation. Now we have a very healthy level of cash and cash equivalent as highlighted by Sandeep. So overall, the demand remained robust, and we booked orders of 16.1 billion INR compared to 46.8 billion INR in Q2 of financial year 24-25. So last year, in the orders of 46.8 billion, we had few large orders amounting to 31 billion. These included the order from the export, large order from export, and a couple of large orders in our software business. Excluding these large orders, our last year order book number was close to 15 to 16 billion, and hence the current quarter performance in the current financial year is in line with what we achieved in the last year. In this quarter, most of the orders were booked from domestic customers, representing 83% of the orders, and rest 17% of the orders were received from the export side. The orders in this quarter were received from various diverse set of customers for all categories of HV equipment in our portfolio, These included orders for transformers and reactors, GIS and AIS equipment, automation products from various utilities, TBCB players and EPCs. Our backlog remained healthy at 131 billion INR. The solid backlog is 3 times the revenue of last financial year, that is financial year 24-25. We are building this backlog in a very disciplined way through disciplined underwriting. 97% of the backlog from private customers, central utilities and public sector units. The exposure to state utility remains limited to the extent of 3% of the backlog. Healthy backlog gives a strong visibility of long-term growth in our business. We had another quarter of strong execution, achieving a revenue of 15.3 billion, delivering a significant 39% growth year-on-year basis. In this quarter, about 32% of the revenue was generated from execution of export contracts, whereas 68% of the revenue was generated by execution of domestic contracts. Overall, in the first half of this financial year, we are achieving 28.6 billion of revenue, again a growth of 39% on year-over-year basis. We reported a strong EBITDA of 25.8% in the quarter, representing an EBITDA expansion of 70 basis points over the EBITDA that we delivered in financial year 24-25. This significant increase in EBITDA is driven by volume, price, and productivity. Deep diving a bit more about these three individual components. So first, the investors were able to hear our conversation, but I'll maybe start again from the EBITDA point. So we delivered a strong EBITDA of 25.8% during the current year, the current quarter, representing a 70 basis point increase over the EBITDA that we achieved in the financial year 24-25. The significant increase in EBITDA was driven by three factors: volume, price, and productivity. Volume is up 39% as we talk. The price is higher compared to the orders that we were booking in past. So last couple of years, we booked orders at a significantly better price. And third element of productivity is basically our internal better performance through lean and effectively managing our operations. Overall, in the first half, we delivered an EBITDA of 27.3%. Our H1 EBITDA of 78 billion INR is almost very close to the 82 billion EBITDA that we generated in the entire financial year of 24-25. Now, with this strong performance in H1, we are confident that for this financial year, we should be able to deliver EBITDA in the mid-20s. In addition to strong P&L performance, we continue to generate positive cash flow. In H1, we generated entire profit after tax, which is approximately 5.9 billion into cash. As a result of this positive cash generation, we now have a healthy cash and cash equivalent of 15.2 billion INR with no debt. This cash balance is after returning 1.3 billion to shareholder in the form of dividend in quarter two. Healthy level of cash balance supported by strong market demand gives us confidence to continue to invest in our core business. And as Sandeep mentioned earlier, today we announced 8 billion of capex in addition to the 2.4 billion capex that was announced earlier so far, leading to the overall expansion plan of 10.4 billion. And all this capex is planned to be sourced from the internal accrual. We can now open for question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Umesh Raut from Nomura India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good evening and congratulations for a very strong set of results. Sir, my first question is on ordering side, especially outlook for domestic orders on the base ordering side. for transformers, switchgears, and circuit breakers. So how do you see second half panning up as compared to H1, considering that in H1 we have seen challenges with respect to industry for ROW issues or slower tendering. So how do you see outlook in terms of second half? And second, similarly in case of export market, considering that we have a broad proposal of closer to 3,000 crores in terms of ordering from related party, what is the exact update on that particular outlook in the subsequent second half?
So I think ordering side, Umesh, you are right at hello. Am I audible?
A request, Umesh Raut, can you please mute your line because there is a disturbance from your line, sir.
Hello. Yeah, Umesh, so I think yeah, we have seen some softness in the decisions or basically the pipeline which is there. But I'm expecting it to pick up because the National Committee of Transmission, for example, if you see, a lot of projects which have got identified, and we expect this pipeline to be much stronger in the time to come. On the RPT side of 3,000 crore, as we said that at that point of time, so we were bidding for, the group entities were bidding for a large project. So the outcome of that has not yet been finalized, so that's why we have not yet received any order or any confirmation that so the opportunities are lies to me.
Got it, sir. Second question is pertaining to the CapEx announcement of 8 billion rupees. So if you could quantify this CapEx in four heads that you have mentioned in the, your presentation, so how does that is divided in between transformer reactors, air core reactors, bushings, and GIS and AIS products?
So, Umesh, I think those finer details probably will not be able to share. So that's why we have shared an overall number with the breakup of what all activities we will be doing in the CapEx.
Okay, got it. And last question is on the data center side. So for a company, what kind of opportunity do you see in case of data center, which all products we can supply, and are we qualified for international orders with respect to data center? If yes, which all geographies where we can supply those products for data center?
So data center mostly, for example, if you see a large data centers which are coming, they have substations which will get built from 220 kV up till 765 kV. So on the receiving of the power, we are qualified for all the products which is there. So if, for example, there are local EPCs which are participating, then we support them with gas insulated switchgear, the transformers, automation system, or at times we directly participate for the project as well. For the international market, definitely we are qualified, but today data center market globally, of course, we know that US and all is a big market, but again, US market, as you know, that is a dead tank technology market. So there, the most of the market is being fed from the US factories only. Balance other places also, for example, if there is any opportunity which comes to us, we'll be targeting that along with our group companies.
Got it. And how much of addressable market we can cater to in overall data center CapEx? Any percentage number here?
You're talking about a complete data center package?
Yeah. So suppose data center costs at about, say, 40 crore per megawatt basis. How much of that total capex we can address in terms of providing our products and solutions?
So I don't know about that, but if you take a can you go on? I think you have two lines, Umesh. A data center typically, for example, a 200, 300 megawatt data center will have close to about 75 to 100 crores of opportunity pipeline from our side.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much and all the very best. I'll join back with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, good evening and congratulations on a very, very strong result. My first question is, sir, while you have done it very superbly in the first half, is it possible to give some color on the margins in the current order book beyond FY25? And the related question is, are you seeing same kind of pricing power what you have done in the new orders?
So good evening, Mohit. So I think Sandeep mentioned in the earlier call that prices are now kind of stable. They are neither improving nor deteriorating. And in terms of margin, I think we don't give a forward-looking guidance for multiple years, but I said earlier in the call that in this financial year, we should be able to deliver an EBITDA of around mid-20s.
In some color on the pricing environment, sir, how do you face, is it similar or is it changing or is it worsening or improving compared to last year?
So I would say that it's not improving. At least the prices are not going higher. Or I would say at the same level, or there is slight pressure on that, but not a substantial.
Understood. My second question is, sir, your parent entity has bought JV stake in Prolec, right? And do you see any implications of this on our business in India and medium term in terms of our offering or to drive this for market?
No, so Prolec is more or less dedicated to North American market. So we don't see any impact of that happening in our territory.
Reading the transcript, I think more about increasing our TAM on the data center side by providing power to rack solution. Is that, have you heard any conversation around that?
What about Prolec is a transformer manufacturing joint venture. Prolec has nothing. No, Prolec has nothing to do on low voltage side.
So that was the outcome, of course. I was reading the transcript of the global, and that's what I mentioned they're looking to. So anyway, last question is, sir, what is driving this phrase capex? Of course, you're doing a large capex compared to your current gross block. How much is the export as a driver for these investments? Some color will be helpful, sir.
I think if you really look at the market scenario which is there and the plan of the national transmission plan, I feel, and if you look at our export potential as well, I don't think that this is a fine balance of capex what we are doing. So that has been thought over, meticulously planned, and then only we have discussed thoroughly in the board, and then only it has been approved. Of course, going forward will be so, it's very difficult to predict going forward that this is the number which is going to come from export, this is the number which is going to come from the domestic market. Also, the capex involves multiple products, so like air core reactor, bushing, a transformer reactor, maybe part of AIS product, GIS product. So there's a multiple product, so everything will have a different ratio of export and domestic. So it's not possible to give like kind of one number for that.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Anwani from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. First question is on the capex. So just wanted to understand two things. One is your current capacity utilization, and second, with this capex, including 150 plus 800, what could be the possible peak revenue target you would like to achieve in upcoming years? And third, in the event of HVDC win, would you be requiring further CapEx or the current expansions would be covering any HVDC wins also?
Thank you, Amit, for asking this question. You know, different products have different capacity utilization. For example, transformer reactors have a pretty high capacity utilization. AIS, GIS, we still have threshold to move further up in terms of taking more orders and increasing the utilization factor. Of course, CapEx is also looking into the market. We are also preparing ourselves for the future, because the implementation of CapEx is also going to take 2 to 3 years. For HVDC today, definitely, we can deliver at least one HVDC order with the existing capacities what we have. We are preparing ourselves, because if you look at the HVDC pipeline, that's a pretty strong pipeline. Regarding peak revenue is a combination of lot of factors, which include, if you win an HVDC, then there's a large part which comes from third party sources, including engineering and technology part of it. I think difficult to give a number of peak revenue, definitely if you look at about 1500 crores of quarterly revenue, then we are looking at somewhere between 5500 and 6000 crores of annual revenue this year, which is again going to be a close to about, say, 35% growth over last year. And if you look at our backlog as well, as Sushil said, that if you take the backlog and last year's revenue, we are sitting at close to about 3 times of the revenue. I think we still have a lot of headroom to increase our revenue, and that's what this additional CapEx is going to increase that headroom and let us grow further.
Sure. So second question on the margin. So very strong margins in Q and Q2. And I can see a lot is happening on the cost optimization, as you have been highlighting the operational efficiency. The other expense was only 10%. Just wanted to understand, and you have guided for some 25 kind of mid-20 EBITDA margin. So is there any scope with respect to current factories and more cost optimization? And the newer CapEx which is coming would have, you know, a similar kind of advanced facilities that the expenses would be controlled. Some understanding on how we are able to achieve this so far. And is there more headroom with respect to the fixed cost optimization?
Thanks, Amit. So cost optimization is a journey. I mean, in GE, we adopt a process of lean, which means continuous improvement over the achievements that we have already secured. So this is something that will continue. And as you see, most of the capital is into our existing facility. The 8 billion that we announced today is entirely for the existing facility. Part of the earlier announcement was for a separate new facility. So considering that we are investing in our existing locations, it is expected to give us more operating leverage, because we don't plan to have additional fixed costs. And in the earlier questions, in the answer that we are growing at 39-40% of revenue, and in future, if the further revenue comes with this CapEx plus HVDC, if we win and so on, so of course there will be an operating leverage from now onwards as well.
Right, sir. So my final question on the order inflow, the H1 saw roughly about 3200 odd crores, and export is about 500 odd crores. Which is obviously relatively lower, since we had a very strong intake in H1 last year. But then our spread for H2 is quite high. So wanted to understand, are we eyeing very strong finalizations, as you highlighted that the National Committee on Transmission has a very strong pipeline. Just wanted to understand some color, because we had a very strong intake FY25 and H1 indicates H2 should be very, very strong in terms of inflows to continue the momentum. And second, color on HVDC order status, South Kalam and South Olpad, the value and the nature, are we bidding together with someone or some color if you would like to give there, that would be helpful.
I think the South Kalam order is South Kalam, the South Olpad order is very much active. However, we'll not be able to give any other further details on that, neither on the value nor on the participation part of it, because the bids are under evaluation. The second project, which is Barmer to South Kalam, I think we expect the tender for the developers to come next quarter. That's a next year order, what we expect, based on the finalization schedule, what we see today.
Pipeline for H2, sir, if you could.
Pipeline for H2, yeah, thank you. Pipeline for H2 is, I think, we are looking at a decent pipeline which is coming in H2. Of course, last year when we had participated, and when we have delivered a very strong order number, it had two large, as Sushil had said, two large factors built into it or orders built into it. One was the related party transaction order, which was close to about 2,200 crores, and then few digital orders put together. Excluding that, we are looking at close to, I think, about 7,000 crore. We are looking at repeating that. That is the target of the team, to repeat at least a similar number of order intake. That will also give a growth in the order backlog by more than 1,000-1,500 crores.
Thank you, sir. If I can squeeze, so the capacity expansion, anything in mind with respect to exports also while setting up this new CapExes?
When we are setting up a plant, of course, when we look at the market, we look both at the domestic market as well as the export market. Eventually the capacities will go where we get the best optimized return on the CapEx.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much for answering the questions. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Arora from Axis Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks, Sandeep, for taking my question. The first question, just on the pipeline part, are you also seeing some refurbishment pipelines also coming with respect to HVAC existing lines or HVDC lines, you know, relating to system upgrade and valves? If yes, you know, how big is this opportunity according to you? And second, how we should think about this related party of 3,000 crores. You think the order finalization should happen by Q4 is what you are eyeing, or will it happen once this CapEx gets completed? How one should think about that? That's my first question.
Thank you, Nitin. Yeah, there is a market for HVDC and HVAC refurbishment definitely, but the numbers are not that big to make a substantial impact on the for HVDC and all refurbishments. The customers take a pretty long time in finalizing and making a decision. And HVAC, for example, today we see few opportunities which are coming in pockets, but that's not a very big business today. As far as the RPT of 3,000 crore order intake, of course, a large part of it is dependent upon the customer decision-making process. That in any way is not linked to the CapEx, because if it would have been linked to the CapEx, we would have first taken a CapEx approval and then we would have gone for the RPT approval. That if you look at that CapEx approval, if you look at the RPT approval, the RPT very clearly said that the deliveries are like up till 5 years. That's a pretty long cycle what we have.
We expect the decision by Q4 in the current scenario. However, it may change depending on the customer's plan.
Okay. Got it. That's very helpful. Second, with respect to you saying that the pipeline are increasing only, opportunities are increasing only. So you have already bids coming in now, going ahead for Q3, Q4. Sorry for asking a short-term question. Just to understand that there is nothing which has lost out here. And lastly, you know, when you, we've been following you for long now, so, you know, you have been articulating so far no pricing pressure because despite capacity catching up, because opportunity size is increasing and order pipeline is increasing a lot. For example, you know, when you said one HVDC, how much capacity it gets booked for a transformer companies across one, if one HVDC gets rolled out. So, how one should think, you know, going in next year, next 2 years, I know, you know, I'm asking something a little longer aspected, but do you think opportunity size will be huge enough where you see growth at least for the next 2-3 years for the sector to remain pretty strong? And that's where, you know, it should not, I mean, obviously, you're such a healthy margin company, 50-100, doesn't matter here and there, but generally, a sense how one should look at it. So these two aspects, just a short-term question on the momentum in ordering and on the pricing growth for the next year.
So, Nitin, I think momentum in between, there was a slight lull, but now I think we're seeing again a pickup which is happening. It's not a major one, but at least there is a pickup uptick which is happening in the pipeline for the TBCB. Regarding, for example, when you're looking at capacities, et cetera, which is now getting added, practically the capacities which are coming, for example, whatever CapEx we have also announced, is like 3 years. So most of the capacities we expect to come in 2 years plus or 3 years' time. And today, a large part of the order intake, what we do is like a 24-month cycle. That is maximum what you get, 24 to 27 months or 30 months. So what you're saying is right. We need to see the next year pipeline, and because next year, there will be an additional impact of new capacities coming in like 2 years' time. But if the pipeline remains healthy and more HVDC or more TBCB gets decided, it is going to offset between the pipeline and the additional capacity.
Got it. Thank you, Sandeep, and all the team.
Thank you, Nitin.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Subhadip Mitra from Nuvama Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and many congratulations on an excellent set of numbers. Just wanted to understand that with an order book which has an export mix of 35%, and we understand that the export bit tends to have superior margins, do we see an annualized export mix in sales remaining around that 30-35% mark? And in the same vein, can we then assume a mid-20s kind of an EBITDA margin could be the new normal?
So, Subhadip, yes, you're right that our backlog has about 30%, 30-35% of export mix. And we, on a long term, we expect that revenue execution should be also in the same proportion, where export will be around 30-35% of revenue. This quarter, it was 32%. See, we are now doing mid-20s kind of EBITDA. The endeavor of the management is to maintain a healthy margin, as Sandeep answered, that typical cycle is 18 to 24 or 27 months. We already have a backlog for next 2 years with us, so hopefully we should be able to maintain the EBITDA margin about 20%. And as you know, our endeavor is also to go beyond EBITDA as a percentage and look at more EBITDA as a number. So as we grow our revenue at 39-40%, which is happening, and our run rate for the annual revenue exceeds, the EBITDA, while it may be slightly lower than what we are delivering today, but in value terms, the EBITDA will be higher. This quarter also, if you see, the EBITDA percentage is lower than the previous quarter, but EBITDA number is higher than the previous quarter. So that is the effort of the management. And with the additional CapEx, the operating leverage that we earlier talked about, plus counting on the HVDC to come at some point of time, the overall EBITDA as a value will be more focused for us.
Understood. So if I understand you correctly, you are endeavoring to keep the EBITDA above the 20% mark. So probably somewhere between 20 to 25% is where you would want to keep the EBITDA number.
So I'll more focus on EBITDA as a value. I think percentage, as I said, becomes less relevant if the volumes keep growing at a higher pace. But yes, our endeavor will be to remain at a healthy margin. Not giving a specific number, but will remain healthy.
Understood. Lastly, just wanted to understand that, do you see an HVDC pipeline panning out beyond the current two which are getting into bidding? So beyond the South Olpad project and the Barmer project, do we see maybe another two HVDCs coming up for next year, maybe the Alfatia project or the Bikaner project?
Yeah, sure. So we see that at least two projects more in pipeline after the Barmer and this thing. And then maybe in a shorter time after the Barmer one gets floated. So maybe one is Lakadia one and one will be one more. So it's going to be from Rajasthan only the next two projects.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Pandey from Sagun Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, hi. Thank you for an opportunity. Congrats on a good set of numbers. Firstly, just wanted to understand, market size of space in India and what sort of demand are you seeing domestically and exports? And also, what sort of market size do we hold?
Can you repeat the question? Because your voice is breaking in between, Deepak. Hello.
Mr. Yeah, Pani, can you please repeat your question again?
Yeah, just wanted to understand the market size of GIS in India and what sort of demand are you seeing domestically and in exports?
So I think we'll not be able to give you the market size of the GIS offhand because GIS comes in two ways. That one, it is a part of a project, so and then a lot of new opportunities as well. But there's a robust demand for GIS opportunities because of the space limitations and also the right-of-way issues. Also at places like, for example, if you go to places like Khavra and all, where the environmental conditions are so harsh that you cannot put in AIS products. So there are multiple factors which are today driving the demand of GIS product. On the export market as well, we are seeing a much higher traction of GIS happening, including the European countries, etc. And of course, for global market, it depends upon market to market. So it's very difficult to give a overall number for an export market opportunity for GIS.
Got it, sir. And sir, secondly, on the same lines, what percentage of your GIS system, BUM, is currently being imported versus locally sourced? Is there a number to it that you can provide?
It depends upon different voltage to voltage. So, for example, 145 kV, more localized, 765 kV. There's still a process of localization going on. So it would be like between, on the minimum side, it would be like 55-60% to, on the higher side, it could be like 75% plus. Localized.
75% local
only? Yeah.
Got it, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Thakur from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. I have just one. I just wanted to check what is the current capacity which you have for transformers, for power transformers in MVA terms, if you can disclose.
Sameer, that's what I keep on saying, that that capacity in transformers in MVA is a very very different thing, because for example an HVDC transformer, you might have a 500 or a 400 MVA HVDC transformer, but if you compare it with an equivalent AC transformer, it might be like a 1200 MVA or a 1500 MVA. But actually, if you look at the rating place, it is only 400 MVA. Same thing happens with STATCOM transformers, same thing happens with PSC transformers. And then, of course, reactor is a different ballgame. For a three-phase 500 MVA, it's a different revenue realization, and the number of hours is different than a 500 MVA 765 kV single phase, which is much more easier to build. So that's what I keep on saying, that MVA is not the real metrics of tracking a transformer factory. It is more a combination of ratings which actually make the revenue mix rather than an MVA capacity.
Okay. That was all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Renu Baid from IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Thanks for the opportunity. So my one question would be, while we've seen multiple cycles, and obviously this cycle has been pretty kind after a very deep down cycle, in your view, this 20% plus kind of margin range that one may try and endeavor to maintain, how long can this pricing or demand supply mismatch sustain in the market in your view? Last cycle, it was for about 12-18 months. The peak profiteering phase. This cycle, in your view, could it be like 2 years, 3 years? How long could it continue?
So, Renu, I think that's what Sushil said, that we are not giving a guidance, and the endeavor of the management is not to look at now at a 20% or a percentage margin, but it's more like to grow the revenue and then to see what is the absolute delivery of margin, what we are able to achieve on a higher revenue.
So my question was also from an industry perspective, not just from the Vanova D&D, but many other peers also in similar range. So any comments from an industry perspective of this peak margin profile on the pricing side? Is it now almost kicked out, will taper down in the next few quarters, or the party may long much longer than what one is expecting?
So it's difficult to comment, but there are few factors which, let me tell you, Renu, this is what I feel. Is it, of course, there's not a large, like, now pricing up is like difficult now. Like, now the capacities are coming, not today, but at least maybe in 2 years down the line, and maybe from next year onwards, there will be more capacities coming in. So it's also going to depend upon the demand which is going to come into the market. But looking into the government plan of multiple HVDC project, and then also looking at offshore wind, if you're also looking at 36 gigawatt of PSPs, if you look at data centers, so there are various factors. So on the demand side, I don't see a slowdown happening like in the previous cycles in a very, very fast fashion. My assessment is that this time the demand is going to last much longer. So obviously, I'm not saying that that we've reached the peak, but I don't see a very high growth of percentage margins happening. Not only, and I'm talking about the industry, I'm not talking about G Vernova T&D, happening from...
Second, in terms of, would you have any pipeline of projects internationally where we are supporting the parent on the HVDC or other project side? Any material large ticket size projects which you can highlight? Anything notable?
So today we have taken an approval of about 3,000 crore for an RPT, which is yet to be decided. That was taken with our AGM that was taken. That is what is the presently the information which is available in the public domain. And if there is any other opportunity which will come, we'll go through an RPT process where all the shareholders are informed at the same time.
Got it. Got it. And lastly, while yes, so there is discussion on the HVDC and other projects, so far we have not been able to successfully get any project at a reasonable price. You think with few more LCC in pipeline, GE should now be at an advantage to at least secure one or two of them, given the other peers are already reasonably full with projects in their books?
So really, that's a commercial strategy. So that's a commercial strategy which is going to depend upon customer, competition, and us all three. It's going to be a dynamic between all three. So it's very difficult to now to make a prediction that is what's going to happen in future on the HVDC decision making. But I can just say, which we have been saying, that HVDC is a focus area for our growth. Something which we have been maintaining, which we keep on stressing on this.
Got it. Thanks much for these words from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Rini.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parikshit Kandapal from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sandeep. Congratulations on a great quarter, sir. So my first question is that the CapEx which you have announced, it's almost, and including the old ones, totals to almost $120 million. 1,040 crores base. So I think last time the global capex which was announced was $600 million, and out of that $20 million was in grid solutions. So just wanted to understand, and especially in Asia, so where we have other factories in China and Japan, so and the quantum of capex announced for India seems to be very, very high, and after many years. So is there any thought that for Asia at least and part of Europe, India may become a manufacturing hub for the parent company?
So, Parikshit, we have been, I think, in the various calls, etc., we have been saying that today, because of the global demand for the electrification or for the energy transition, there are a lot of boundaries depending upon the opportunities which are broken, not only by us, by the customers, except also in accepting the factories from India. So it's not that we are looking at like India becoming a declared hub for this thing for Asia and all. We will see the opportunities coming. For example, if I get a better opportunity in the domestic market, why I will go for export? But as we have said, that export normally gives a few percentage higher. So we'll still maintain a mix between export and the domestic market.
Okay. So again, related to that, sir, I mean, earlier you highlighted that domestic, maybe the pricing have stabilized. So now in the export market versus last quarter, the RPTs which we have signed and this, which the ones you announced in the AGM, so or other which you are evaluating. So still, is there any positive delta or any comment on the pricing on the export market side?
No. Export market is difficult to comment because it comes from different geographies, where you have different competitions, and export cannot be put in a block of a pricing strategy like the domestic is being done. In domestic also, for example, state electricity board is different, and central utilities it is different, and like, for example, private customers are different. So, like, there is no set rule for that. So similarly, for export, when we have different countries which are there, it's very difficult to put like a block saying that, okay, this is going to be the export percentage or export margin percentage. Australia might be different, Japan might be different, Africa might be different, Bangladesh might be different. So,
okay. Just the last questions around this. After this India capex which happens, so will it imply that India will become the largest factory, at least in Asia, compared to Japan and China? And also, if you can comment the product acceptability in Asia and other geographies from India, so has it improved over the last 2-3 years? Because we have seen this rise in the export opportunity even in the RPT. So the product acceptability also, if you can comment.
So I'll say that, again, as I've been maintaining, so even without the capex or with the capex, we will be one of the largest facility, one of the largest facilities in Asia. That's for sure. Regarding when you talk about the acceptability in Asia and all, as we have said in the past, for example, certain countries have a different voltage. So, for example, a country has a 362 kV or a 500 kV. That is not an Indian voltage is what gets produced in India. So that is fed from a different factory. For example, wherever there is a 400 kV or a 245 kV, definitely it is going to be. So it's not something where, like for example, we become the sole source for Asia, but there are different factors which make a decision, like the voltage rating, the delivery cycle, a lot of other factors which helps decide that a specific opportunity to be targeted from which factory.
Okay. And sir, any dedicated line being transferred to us in this CAPEX? I mean, have we won any mandate for just for global manufacturing from here?
So there's nothing like a global line which is being put for, like a line which has been put for a global, dedicated global applications and all. There's nothing like that. It's purely as we have declared in our press release or the presentation. It's a flexible thing depending upon the opportunity. The expanded capacity can be used for domestic market, can be used for exports, either or both.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Those are my questions and wish you the best.
Thank you, Parikshit.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umesh Rao from Nomura India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for follow-up. So my question is on power stability solution side, especially on STATCOM. You have earlier mentioned about closer to 20-25 projects on STATCOM side worth rupees closer to $1 billion to be awarded in next couple of years. So where exactly we are currently, and is there any delay in terms of transmission from STATCOM opportunity in terms of new orders?
So there's a slowdown at present. Hello?
Umesh, please mute your line.
So Umesh, there's a presently a slowdown at least in the STATCOM opportunities. But I think next year we expect them to bounce back and we'll have much more opportunities of STATCOM. This year has been a lump for STATCOM opportunities.
Got it, sir. And second, sir, if I look at, say, strategy-wise, parent has also product offering towards grid-scale energy storage side. So in future, in medium term, do we expect to launch any products on those side?
Grid-scale?
Grid-scale energy storage. So, for example...
No. We are not planning anything on that side.
Got it, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayur Patel from 361 Asset Management. Please go ahead.
So most of the things got covered. You said there was a lull in demand for a while. That was... you know, related to the Indian market or the export market or both markets? That's question number one.
So that was in the domestic market.
Okay. And sir, second thing is, in addition to, you said the pipeline is such that you can end up having the same base order inflow like the last year, excluding the lumpy ones. Is it fair to say, in addition to that, the pipeline also includes the HVDC, one HVDC this year, which you said is under evaluation, and there could be more lumpy orders in export and Indian markets, which could...
Sorry to interrupt, we lost the line for the participant.
I think we have reached the close of the hour, we can close the call. Or if he's joining, then we can answer that.
Mr. Mayur, if you can please press star and one. Yes, he's joined back. Mayur Patel, please go ahead.
Yeah.
So, whatever question you had asked till now, I will answer that.
Yeah.
So, we have taken an RPT approval for 3,000 crores. So, if G Vernova wins that project, then definitely we will have that opportunity coming. We don't know. Our endeavor is, global endeavor is to take the order before Q4. But, and if you are able to do that, then of course that's a big order which is going to come in. And as we said that there is one HVDC which is under discussion, under finalization. If we are able to win that, then that will be over and above what numbers we are talking.
Sure, perfect, sir. And just one more if I can squeeze in. Data center is going to be a huge opportunity unfolding in the Indian market itself, based on just the, you know, 3-4 public announcements which we have seen. Do you expect FY27 to be a year of some material inflows from data center as a segment for you?
Yes. So today also we get orders, but you are right that it is not, because the number of data centers is pretty not as significant as in US and all. So we get orders, but not as significant like a percentage of our overall order intake. It is pretty small. But I expect that, I think with the recent announcement, India story of data center is going to become much bigger and bigger. And you are right, we expect 27-28 to be a much bigger story for data centers.
Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Mayur.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Megha Gupta for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the call today. We hope the insights provided by our speakers have been informative and valuable to you. We value the trust and support of our investors and analysts and ensure to remain committed to maintain transparent communication and fostering strong relationships. If you have any further questions or require additional information, please do not hesitate to reach out to me or our communication leader. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of GE Vernova T&D India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.